already in session 9 of Horse Biz Bootcamp. This is Jen Verheeren, as always, from Cadence Coaching. In this session, we're going to look at the importance of thinking about your business systemically. I'm going to give you a brief overview of some processes that, when in place, can help your business run smoothly and save you time, energy, and heartache. A system is defined as a set of elements or components that work together in relationships for the overall objectives or vision of the whole. Blah, 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 blah. Looking at your business as a system helps you understand how the parts interact to make a smooth-running, streamlined whole. So even though that sounds a little esoteric, it's a really important lens through which you can look at your business. A set of elements or components that work together in relationship for the overall objectives or vision of the whole. A process is a series of logically related activities or tasks performed together to produce a defined set of results. Processes make up a system. A policy is a rule or guideline formulated or adopted by an organization to reach its long-term goals. So it's basically a rule. And a procedure is an established official way of doing things. Policies and procedures make processes run smoothly. The processes that you set up in your business directly impact your ability to be effective, maximize your time, make a profit, and enjoy your work. They combine to make up a system that ultimately lets you do your work and make a living from it. You may find that you already have some processes in place that are working really well. You may find there are some processes you don't need. You may also discover that one or two of them are vital for you to put in place ASAP. And you may find that there are processes you need to create that I don't even touch on here. The idea behind this session is to provide you with an overview that will inspire you to look for the places in your business that are not as streamlined as they could be. Generally, it's a little more work in the beginning to set up a process, but once it's done, it can save you hours and hours of work and lots of money. If you're setting up a new business or are on the cusp of transitioning to a new business, this is the perfect time to put your processes in place. Think about your business model, your goals, and start implementing your processes right away with new clients. If you don't have clients yet, the upcoming sessions will help you get your marketing process in place so that you can get the ball rolling. I'm going to talk again about scheduling and time management. Are you maximizing your time and effectiveness? What's the shortest session in which you can get the most done? For example, if you're scheduling more than 45 minutes per lesson, ask yourself, where could you educate and give over more responsibility to your students for warm-up? Are there procedures you could have for your clients that would make arrival, warm-up, and cleanup more efficient? Might you get more accomplished and be more concise if you were teaching shorter lessons? Are you using precious session time to communicate individually about logistics that could be communicated more efficiently in a group email? Could you train your students and your clients to be concise with their questions and enhance their ability to learn by talking less? How much time could you open up in your day by scheduling your time more efficiently? Are you clumping like activities together effectively? It takes a lot of energy and precious time to go back and forth between different types of activities or even different locations. What would your day be like if you scheduled your activities in blocks, lessons, training sessions, administrative tasks, etc.? You'll be amazed at how your customers and clients will be willing and able to adjust to your schedule even when you think they won't. There will always be exceptions that need to be made, but I find that most of the time, the exceptions you think you need to make disappear when you're really clear about your availability. Evaluate your scheduling process. Eliminate the need for lots of emailing and phone calling. Have clients on a regular schedule. It may change seasonally, but you can save hours per week by keeping a regular schedule that changes little. Have a clear process for canceling and rescheduling that all your clients understand. If your process right now is that they text you the night before and let you know they won't make it to a lesson, think about the chaos that generally triggers. Now you have a time slot that you could have filled had you known sooner. It may not be enough time to ride a horse or get other tasks done. Maybe you spend 20 minutes rearranging your schedule to eliminate the gap and had to inconvenience another client. Maybe that took 20 minutes away from your family or what was supposed to have been some precious personal time. Maybe you just leave it and end up teaching a long lesson the next day because of your gap. None of this is tragic or horrible, and you might think, well, that's just the way things go. For a while, this might seem like a perfectly reasonable process to you. It might be fine. You might feel like that's part of your job. But here's the deal. At some point, when this happens over and over, year after year, and you're short on time and money and start missing time with your own horse or with your family, it will become a major leaky hole. Decide if having a cancellation policy will serve you and your clients. Make it clear and uphold it. If you have a 24-hour cancellation policy, it'll give you plenty of time to adjust your schedule. There will always be emergencies and illnesses that you can decide to honor and not charge for missed lessons, but most cancellations are convenience related. You'll dramatically decrease last-minute cancellations and increase commitment by having and enforcing a cancellation policy. Same thing goes if you're a barn owner and you ask for 30 days notice for a client that needs to leave. You need that time to get another horse in that stall. So figure out fair ways to enforce policies that support you in being able to get rid of those leaky holes. I'm going to say this again. I already talked about this a few sessions ago. Prioritize your own horses. Put them in your schedule. They're your VIP clients. This is an investment in your own well-being, your happiness, your credibility, as well as your riding and training goals. Do the same with other things that are important to you, like family, creative projects, and friends. Billing and payment. Do you make it easy for your clients to pay you? Are you consistent with your billing and payment process? Do you require payment before or upon services? It can be expensive, stressful, and distracting to have to collect money after services have been rendered. Do you know what your business brings in every month? Does your payment process allow you to pay your bills on time? Are your clients clear on your payment process? Do you have invoices that are due on a particular date, and do you have late fees clearly outlined as a part of your billing process? If your clients are late paying you, you may be late paying your own bills. If you're going to give your business a reboot and change your rates or your policies, now might be a good time to decide whether your billing and payment process also needs an upgrade as well. I find that many trainers and horsepreneurs get frustrated with clients who don't pay on time, but they're reluctant to discuss it with them or get clear about their process. If you have accepted late payments in the past, that'll become the norm, and your clients will think it's fine with you because you haven't told them otherwise. Remember that most people are not self-employed. They don't fully understand what it means to be dependent on individual payments from clients. It's up to you to decide how you'd like to receive payment and then make it as easy for your people as you can. Maybe it's an envelope in the barn. Maybe it's an online invoices and payments. Maybe you have checks mailed to you at the beginning of every month. If it works for you to collect a bunch of checks every day and have them in the pockets of your breeches, then keep doing it. But if you're tired of losing checks or putting them through the wash, it's time to find another way. Start charging for all lessons or services at the beginning of the month, or use PayPal. There are many paths to Rome. Identify what's no longer working for you and fix it. Or if you're just starting out, set yourself up for success now by being really clear on your process from the beginning. I'll say it again, people are like horses. They do not like ambiguity, but if they sense it, they will take full advantage of it. Be clear about your expectations and don't be afraid to set up rewards or consequences in your billing and payment system. Bookkeeping. So here's where systems thinking really comes in. Your billing and payment processes, along with ordering and purchasing, if that's part of your business, should interact easily with your bookkeeping system. unless you love sitting in front of the computer, sifting through receipts, and inputting data every few days, your bank accounts should be connected to whatever bookkeeping system you use. If you use a program like QuickBooks Online, your bank accounts can be set up to automatically populate your QuickBooks ledger and even assign transactions to the proper accounts. Those usually need to be adjusted a little bit, though. So this includes both payments made that are deposited into your account and payments that you make. This integration makes it so much easier for you or your bookkeeper to update your books, and it makes taxes a breeze. This all adds up to a faster, more efficient process that will save you many valuable hours. Bye-bye bookkeeping leaky hole. Hello, system that works. If you have not yet listened to my interview with Beth Baller about bookkeeping for the Busy Horse Pro, you can find it in the HBB resource room. It'll give you some more ideas for setting up an efficient bookkeeping system. Hiring process. Whether you need to hire right now or not, it's important to have a plan for how you're going to do it. Hiring and firing can be two of the most expensive and stressful aspects of business ownership. Most people wait too long to hire, become desperate, and then hire too fast. Most people also wait too long to fire, having invested time and money in an employee or a contractor that was not a good fit. Having a process will help you avoid making these mistakes, though in my experience, we often have to make a few before we realize how badly we need a process. One intention of this program is for you to learn from my mistakes and navigate your bottleneck phases more efficiently than I have over the years. Making your first hire will almost always feel like you're not ready or you can't afford it. And this is because you've reached what I call a bottleneck phase in your business. You're using up all the hours you have in a day by doing everything yourself. Your business cannot grow until you open up more time. And you will likely feel you can't hire until you're making more money, but you don't have enough time to make more money. Sound familiar? This is the proverbial catch-22, and it's a universal experience of small business owners at several different stages of business development. I've been there twice in the last few years. Hiring takes courage. There are a lot of ways to do it that can make it less intimidating. Consider hiring someone part-time for the most low-value activities in your energy audit. Look to your tribe for people who may have skills they can barter with you. Legal help, bookkeeping, barn work, babysitting, barn sitting, feeding are all examples of things that you may be able to creatively get help with. Just make sure you have clear, written, signed agreements. Hire contractors who are not entirely dependent on your business alone for their livelihood. People who run their own businesses tend to be reliable and care about their reputations. They specialize and know their jobs. Again, make sure you go through your hiring process with them as well. If you pay a contractor more than a certain amount every year, you'll need to have them fill out a W-9 form, so be sure you're up to date on your tax requirements. And again, in the HBB resource room, there are two sessions with Beth Clark, who is a very experienced horse industry attorney, and we have several conversations about these topics, so feel free to go in there and listen to those. Working student programs have been the mainstay of the equestrian training industry for centuries. They are still viable in many situations, but due to cultural shifts and legal issues, they're not always as easy to rely on now. Don't let that stop you from investigating and looking for the right working student. And when you find one, treat your working student positions just as you would paid positions. You can use the same hiring process. There's also an example of a hiring process in the HBB resource room, and set up a fair and equitable exchange. Prioritize your working students as highly as you do your paying clients. They are paying for your time and expertise with their time and labor. It's important to have written job descriptions and signed compensation agreements for working students, just as you do for paid employees. Having a hiring process will not only help you hire the right people and minimize mistakes, it'll allow you to rely on a structure instead of your emotions. It'll allow you to rely on a structure instead of your emotions to make important decisions. This is huge. If you get emotionally hooked or like to people please, like 99.9% of us do, hiring and firing can be traumatic. If you have a process, it's like having a map. Please take a look at the hiring process example in the resource room and create your own. Firing process. Written job descriptions play an important role in the firing process. When you have a piece of paper that lists all the responsibilities and tasks required for the job, and your employee has signed and agreed to those things, it's much easier to identify and communicate what's not working when things go awry. If you don't have those in writing, it's easy to get emotional when things aren't working and lose sight of your core values, your goals, and your intentions. You might behave in ways that are not in alignment with the best interest of your business, with who you want to be. Whether you get angry and resentful or you hang on to someone who's not working out because you feel sorry for them, you're likely not upholding your company core values. Having a firing process, again, there's an example in the HBB resource room, will help you communicate clearly, behave fairly, and fire efficiently. It's never easy to let someone go, but having a plan makes it far less painful. Better to rip a Band-Aid off quickly and move on than it is to pull it off hair by hair. Marketing. We'll be going more into depth about marketing later in the program. It's important to have a marketing process, even if you don't think you need to do much marketing. Most of the time when we think about marketing, we think about advertising and trying to make sales. We think about promotion. I'd like you to consider another definition of marketing that we're going to use in this program. Marketing is the process you use to create and maintain relationships with your clients and customers. This includes current clients, past clients, and potential clients. Marketing is about sharing who you are, making your services visible to those who will benefit from them, and keeping the lines of communication open in your tribe. So depending on where you are in your business, your marketing process will include different things. It might simply include sending group emails to your current clients once a month, or sending weekly video clips of your training horses to their owners. It might include having social media accounts that you post on every week, monthly advertisements in a local magazine, or writing articles for interested publications, writing a blog, cultivating an email list with potential customers. The possibilities are really limitless. What you decide to do as a part of your marketing process is less important than getting really good at communicating about who you are and what you do. Having a marketing process will help you do that on a regular basis in a way that feels authentic and good to you. All right, I'm just going to briefly go through a few other business processes that you should consider. These are some that may or may not relate to you depending on your particular business. An onboarding process. So this might include an orientation session, signing of liability forms or training contracts, making a first payment, doing a phone interview, having a trial period, etc. This is useful to have email templates for so that you are not reinventing the wheel each time you get a new client. Write down what your onboarding process looks like and then follow through with that. Commissions and sales process. What procedures do you follow for taking new sales horses into your program? What do you require in the way of x-rays? How do you handle soundness issues? Do you have a trial period to ensure horses are a good fit for your program? Do you have a list of referrals you use for horses that are not a good fit for you? How do you handle videos and promotion? Which activities are your responsibility and which are the responsibility of the owner? These are all questions to consider when you think about your sales process with sales horses. Client release process. What steps do you take and try to resolve conflicts or issues with a client? How many conversations do you have? What do you do when you want to terminate a client relationship? Again, it's really important to have a plan for this, even if you never have to use it. Ordering and billing for supplies. Who on your team is responsible for keeping inventory and ordering supplies? How are reimbursements collected and tracked within your bookkeeping system? This can be a serious leaky hole. Look at ways you can plug that hole. by setting up an ordering and billing process. Training process. You cannot expect people to perform well if you don't train them well. Have a replicable process for training your staff or your working students. Most people need more support, more repetition, and more time to learn new tasks than we generally think they will. This is a natural part of the learning process. If you have an intentional training process for each position, it'll keep you from being impatient and missing important topics. It'll give your employees more confidence, it'll improve morale, and ensure that you'll not have to micromanage in the future to get things done the way you want. A good training process can keep your turnover low and ensure that you're able to do your high-value activities. It might take a little more time in the beginning, but will have huge payoffs in the end. I've worked with a lot of horse industry professionals who say, oh, I just can't hire someone. I can't go through that because no one can do it as well as I can. And it just takes more time. And I get frustrated when people don't do it as well as I can. And that might be true. If you don't have a good training process, you are going to feel ultimately very frustrated by the quality of work that you inspire out of your employees. So really think about what that training process needs to look like in order to end up with really competent help. Some of the processes listed in this session may not be relevant for you and your business right now, but I hope that they have sparked your curiosity about some of the areas where you could put a process in place to streamline a particular part of your system. There's no need to do everything at once, but do consider which are the most important to address now in order to begin to solve whatever challenges you're currently facing. Here's a good way to get started. Most businesses have a handbook or notebook that contains written information about the business. This can be in paper form, or you can keep a folder on your computer desktop dedicated to processes and operating procedures. For every process you'd like to put in place, make a simple list or outline the process. Create any forms or templates that you'll use in that process and save them. Ultimately, your handbook would allow someone to come in and run your business should you become unable to for some reason. It's a lot like keeping horse care records. It'll also serve as a training resource for when you hire new team members. It might include task checklists, job descriptions, standard operating procedures for cleaning the barn, ordering supplies, and it might also include your horse health records. It might include a list of contact information for all your team members. Your handbook will populate over time. Don't feel like you need to do it all at once and give yourself another thing to procrastinate on, but set up an easy way that you can add things to your handbook as you go along. It usually doesn't take much time to create a form and save it to your desktop. Make a list and add it to your handbook or save an email that you can use over and over for reoccurring situations. Start with what seems most urgent and make a list of things that you'd like to address in the future. Setting up processes is another place where you can get a great deal of leverage in your business. Making things replicable and repeatable can save so much time and energy. Decide what you need and jump in. Garner courage from simply being here in this program. Amelia Earhart said, "The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. The fears are paper tigers. You can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change and control your life. And the procedure, the process, is its own reward." This is so true.